Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for this avenue of fellowship with all these wonderful people out there around the world. We thank you, Lord, that we can all get together and have a great time fellowshipping with you, have our own body of fellowship. And Lord, we thank you for that. It is so awesome to be able to talk with everybody across this land. And also over to Joe in South Africa and Andrew up in Canada and other places. And Father, we just thank you for it. We thank you, Father, that tonight you're going to lead us and guide us in what you want us to talk about, Lord. Give us some new revelations to open up, Lord, a good dialogue on these things. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for all the work that you're doing in us. You're preparing our hearts. And you're preparing our spirits, Lord, for this wonderful time that's coming ahead. It's going to be tough for some, but for some it's going to be awesome. And Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, for showing us these dark spots in our hearts to get rid of them and to cleanse our hearts to receive what you have for us in these days ahead. Lord, this glory, this anointing that you're going to give us, Lord, I'm just excited about it. I'm so excited about it because I know that's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And not only that, revival's going to start. We're going to see all kinds of new stuff. And because of our faithfulness, Lord, with you, and the only reason that we can be faithful to you, Lord, is because you put it in us. You've done everything for us. All we have to do is just have a little bit of faith. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight people's lives will be changed because of what's said, what's done, and what's seen, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for allowing us this avenue of fellowship in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. And we love you, Lord. We love you so much, Lord. And we ask that you increase yourself in us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Get everything situated here. Anybody got any prayer requests or testimonies or praise report? That's Southern Ice Tea. Just in case you was wondering. Anointed elixir from God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Anybody got a testimony or a praise report? Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
I have to get up. I'm going to have to leave the group here by 9 o'clock or something like that. I got to get up and go into work really early in the morning. But I wanted to give kind of a praise report. I know last week, someone prayed specifically for my job as I left it and went on vacation and left it kind of in the hands of a junior superintendent I just wanted to, somebody prayed, I don't remember who it was, but prayed that it would go well and it would be organized and he would, everything would be smooth and operating perfectly. And when I got back, I have to say that it was, I was a bit surprised, but everything was very ordered. He followed through on everything that I said and had it set up properly. And he really did a great job and took a lot of weight off of me at the time. When I came back, everything was really set up nice. So that was kind of an answer. It was an answer prayer. One of the things that I was discovering for the last few days, I've noticed that I have just been under this cloud, like depressed. And something that I noticed today about it, because I was listening to a couple, read a couple stories in the paper and the on Drudge Report and whatnot, and it seems like that the vicious vitriol of the people that are opposing the president now is so radical. I mean, I haven't seen viciousness represented like what is being done now for I don't remember it in any of the candidates or any of the presidents before that this sort of thing happened. But the thought that I had before I came on was that scripture that said bitterness, is it bitterness that defiles? Many be defiled. Root of bitterness, that's what it is, root of bitterness. I don't remember, is that in, sorry. Hebrews 12:15. Follow after peace, 12:14. Follow after peace with all men and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord, looking carefully lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled. And just thinking about that verse, even though I wasn't really going to talk about it, it just seems like that is what is happening, that there was there's just a massive social resistance of God's grace and thereby extending grace to others for anything. And this root of bitterness seems to have been cut loose in society and is defiling many. And the thing that I noticed, I seem to sense kind of a discouragement in President Trump, in some of the things that he was saying and just his demeanor as of late. And even though I, obviously like you, I don't agree with everything President Trump says or does, or even the way that he does things sometimes, but the fact of the matter is he is our president, and there's a real need to support that office and to support that whole process. Otherwise there's a rebellion that is loosed in our nation, and things are just going to go south, and it can, and that root of bitterness just seems to be spreading rampantly. So just a thought that, you know, we need to keep our government officials, especially the president, surrounded by prayer and encouragement. Don't let that discouragement take hold of him as a leader. And it seems so like everybody, not only the Democrats in Congress are against him, but also the Republicans, and there's just it just seems to be scattering all over the place. So I just feel the real need to pray specifically for that. Now, I don't think I'm this weekend, I'm in my trip there to Ohio and seeing the in-laws and everything. I wanted to do and say many things that just didn't seem to want to come out of me. And I'm, I guess one of the things that I'm feeling personally discouraged about is that I really feel that there is a, I'm missing something from the Lord as far as making the connection, making, standing up and boldly, being boldly willing to proclaim and stand up for God's word and represent God's word properly, be willing to speak into others' lives. There's a block there somewhere in me, and I don't know where it's at or how it is, but I know that there's, I mean, I thank the Lord that I'm seeing it, or I'm starting to see, you know, something is there and needs to be corrected or whatever. I'm just asking for a prayer for myself related to wisdom to see what it is. There's something there that needs to be dealt with in some form or another, and I just need to be released, freed, or whatever. So I'm just trusting the Lord and obviously making confession tonight. But I think as a result of that, I've been feeling this type of depression, you know, a depression or whatever. And it just seems like everything out there in society is opposing. Even on my job, it's like I have... feel like I've jumped into the fire here, because it's just like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like I have a job that would normally, the project that I'm on would normally take, say, 20 weeks to do it, and we've got 12 weeks to do it. So that's why I have to get up and go to work at 5 in the morning, just so I can meet people there. And it just seems like these jobs anymore are massively tense and pressured and whatever. But so I'm just trusting the Lord that He's going to lead me through. He's going to open up my eyes and direct me where how I need to relate or respond to this. But obviously, I'm putting it up for prayer now.
Okay. Hey, Pat, I got a question for you.
Sure.
If I might. When you say that you don't feel like you did what you needed to do with your family, can you be more specific?
I wanted to. My mother-in-law has had some operations and she's had health problems, digestive problems and whatnot. And so I wanted to pray with her and pray for healing for her and whatnot. And it's really based along those areas about just getting with people and praying with people. I don't know if it's a lack of faith. I don't know if it's a lack of experience. I don't know if it's not knowing what to do or not feeling confident in what to do. But I think it's more related to that. And quite frankly, I started to realize and experience this kind of frustration back when David started. David was had a message, The Power of the Tongue. Way back in 2010, and I was listening to it then, and I just trying to follow up on some of those things and convey things to people, trusting in that power of the tongue to break down some of those strongholds, etc. And I saw failure in those times. I remember I had a dog one time that had a problem with her tail. It was a disease or a sore type thing on her tail, and I was trusting the Lord to heal that dog's tail, and I was conveying that to my family and whatnot. Well, that didn't happen. Basically, I failed at that, I'm going to say, the dog, we had to, kids took the dog to the doctor and got to the vet and got her fixed or whatever. But so there's failure connected to that in my life. Following through, standing in faith on after speaking certain things, wavering in that confidence, etc. So I guess that's kind of more the background of what I'm thinking.
Okay. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask and I pray for Pat. I lift him up to you, Lord, and I ask and I pray, Lord, that you would give him great and bold faith. The bold faith, Lord, Lord, I ask also that you place those scriptures in front of him and give him put it in his heart to memorize those promises of healing in the scriptures, Lord. And ask, Lord, that when the time comes, that you prompt him, the Holy Spirit would prompt him to go ahead and ask them if they would like for him to pray for them for healing and give him the words to say. Not only that, give him the scriptures to tell him what he's relying on and what the promise of the Lord is concerning that particular situation. And Father, we thank you for it, that he's going to, I pronounce and I decree right now, the power of God come upon Pat in a mighty way. The next time that someone comes before him that needs healing and you want him to pray for him, Lord, that the power of God would come on him, that the gift of faith would be in evidence upon him. Lord, give him that one shot at it so that would boost and encourage him in a mighty way, Father, and I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to make a mighty man, a healing evangelist out of him, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Everybody believe that? Amen. I do. I praise you, Father.
Amen. For that, I receive that.
For Pat. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Want to pray or would got a testimony?
Yeah, let's pray for, was it his mother-in-law that was needed the prayer? Father, we just stand with Pat right now. We agree with them for healing for her, Lord God. She gets healed. I know she'll love that, and Lord, after the healing. We just thank you, God, for some healing to her. And this just bless his in-laws, God. Bless his father-in-law, too. And you know, just be with them in the name of the Lord and just come to them. We just ask you have the right timing. Just pray for good timing and send other laborers to them. We just thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're so good to us, Lord. We just thank you for it. We thank you for these trials that you put us in, Father. And Lord, we just remind you that he's confessed and he needs some help. And Lord, we thank you for that help because we know what's coming. We know the Holy Spirit's going to guide him and give him the boldness to speak out, and you're going to back him up in that in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. Anyone else?
Did Missy share on the wedding yet? Or
Missy, you got to talk, girl.
I missed.
Is the wedding still on?
Yeah, and it went really well. It went well, but there's a but.
No buts.
Well, I know the Lord's going to turn it around. But my mom gave them a letter in with their wedding gift. And so I'm just, the enemy's really trying to bring division, faction, witchcraft. There's been attacks of that. And but the Lord's going to turn this around.
Okay, you want to pray?
Yeah.
You want to believe with you? Okay.
Yeah.
You got some powerful prayer warriors here now. You got a lot of faith right here.
Father, I just, in spite of how things look, Lord, I praise you and I thank you for it, because I know that you're in control, you're sovereign, and there's nothing that does not happen, Lord, that that you do not permit, that you do not use for your purpose, for your will. You work all things after the counsel of your will, and you work all things together for good to those who love you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for turning this whole situation around, and you using it to bring salvation, repentance, humility. I thank you, Lord, for that you're going to use this to bring my family out of the apostasy that they're in. And I just praise you and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. We come against any kind of tormenting spirits on her mother. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we bind you up from ever acting again, in Jesus' name. We bind up the spirits of Jezebel. We bind up the spirits of criticism, in Jesus' name, and we cast them off of her right now, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you for opening up her mind's eye, her spiritual eye, to see the things that Missy has shared with her are the truth in the Word, Father, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord. We're going to see a mighty miracle in her mama in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I believe it. I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Look for it, because it's going to happen. That woman's going to be so happy to get the truth of the gospel. Yep. It's going to happen soon, too. I know that. Believe it.
Yep.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Woo! Nah, but I'll tell you what. I'm getting excited now, because I know that's the word.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Yeah, I know. I'm really confident of it, and I know there's two people that I don't know if they know what that she was going to write a letter, but they agreed with her on how she felt about things or whatever. I don't know if she told me she got advice. There were two people that told her that they thought she should do this, and I'm like, ooh.
Worldly people?
Huh?
Worldly people, no doubt, huh?
Well, two are ordained ministers.
That's what I said, worldly people.
Yeah. Anyway, so, and I've been sensing for a while by things that I've been observing and things that I've been seeing, and the Lord, I know the Lord's going to do something soon here. I think that what he's going to do is he's going to pour out his spirit, and there's going to be blessing on some, and there's going to be judgment on others. And this pouring out of his spirit is going to be an anointing of the man child. And he's just going to deal with everything.
Woo-hoo! Glory to God. Thank you, yes. Jesus. Come on, yes. Jesus. Amen.
Can I share a verse that the Lord gave me the other day? And I sent it to David.
No.
I sent it to David. And he
go
was,
ahead, yeah. That'd be fine, Missy.
He was tired, and I had apparently, I got a response from him last night on this verse, and Eve and I were talking about it previously. I was telling her what I was
actually
thinking.
we were tied up, and we had a lot of things going on that day. Okay. But go ahead. Yes, that'd be great.
So I responded to him right before the outreach here of what I saw in it, and what it is I asked the Lord, I said, I asked him for a word of what he wanted to speak to me. This was yesterday. And he gave me Daniel 11:7. So if y'all want to look at that, and I'll tell you, and the version I went with is the ASV. So I'm going to tell you what I saw in this.
You're not really teaching, are you?
No, I'm just going to tell you what I saw.
I'm just kidding. You go for it, girl.
Okay. I'm trying to think. Where did... Oh, my finger landed right at the words, the fortress. But this is... I'm going to read the verse, and then I'll go back and I'll tell you what I commented in it. It says, but out of a shoot from her roots shall stand up in his place.
Shall one stand up?
What's that?
Shall
one stand up in his place, who shall come unto the army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail. And this is what I saw. But out of a shoot, that's man-child. That's man-child. From her roots shall stand up, rise up, because I went back and I looked at what all that meant in the Strong's. And I was looking for that because the Lord got my attention with that stand up, and what came to me was rise up.
Shall one stand up. You keep missing that word.
Shall one stand up, and what I see is rise up, be resurrected, caught up to the throne, and be anointed. This is the man child.
Okay.
In his place, whom shall come unto the army, that's the northern army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, leader of the northern army. And shall deal against them and shall prevail. And I told David, I said, before I heard the Bible study last night, I told you that I believe the Lord is saying that when the man child is anointed, that is when the faction will be defeated. And I believe through the mouth of the man child. Then I heard David say on the Bible study last night that the defeat of the faction and the man child anointing would be very close together. So I was like, wow. So to me, when I heard him say that to me, I felt like the Lord was saying, yes, Missy, that's what I'm saying here in this verse. And then I was also seeing the same as David was, that it would be defeated, it's a defeat of the faction of the church and apostates. And in the government, I was seeing that too, you know, because you know, it's not just a secular, but it's a religious faction that's going to be defeated. But anyway, so I was really encouraged by that because, you know, know what's going on with the faction.
Yep, you're cutting out. You froze up now. You're a pillar of salt.
She turned off.
She turned off. What? No, there you are. Okay, you made it. No, yeah. Are you back?
Yeah. Could you hear me?
Some of it. Yeah, most of it.
Oh, that's weird because I wasn't. See, that the enemy doesn't like what I'm saying.
Amen.
Because where did it cut me out? What did it cut out?
Well, we heard about the man child. We heard about the revival. We heard what you said about David on the broadcast last night. and what he had said about the man child and the anointing and destruction of the faction and all of that. But then you started cutting out after that.
Yeah, I was seeing too that the defeat of the church faction apostates and in the government. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was really encouraged by that, like, because of, you know, what's been going on with the faction coming against the ministry and what I've been seeing with my family and all, you know, what the enemy's been trying to do, but I've been praying against it. But anyway, I was just really encouraged by that. I was really, really encouraged.
You better feed that little varmint.
She's like a little baby. She goes through her she's cranky. Oh my gosh.
Well, you're going to have to get that rod of correction out.
Yeah, well.
Get your taser out.
Well, it's Merle's. Yeah.
Look at Willie. That's right.
I want to watch that.
Yeah, really. That's awesome. All right. Thank you, Lord. No, Fudge Sickle, she's a sweet little daughter. She's a sweetie. Is that all, Missy?
Yeah, I'll mute myself so you don't have to hear her bark anymore.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, Pat, I did want to go over a little something you said there about the world and what's going on out there about the people against Trump. I've watched over the last 6.5 years faction and how it operates and how it makes people just completely stupid. Completely, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know why they're doing it. They're just doing it. And that's what you're seeing. You're seeing faction in our government. You're seeing faction in this nation being fomented by people like George Soros and the Democratic Party and you know, other entities, the deep state. And it's just amazing to me to watch, because you can go up and ask the people. I've seen InfoWars do that. Go up and ask people why they're protesting. They can't give you a straight answer. They cannot give you a straight answer. And it's because that factious spirit has jumped on them. They don't understand why they're doing it themselves. They just all in the, and all they can do is sit out there and spout off names like Trump. Well, we're doing it because Trump is a misogynist. He's a racist. He's this. He's that. He's whatever. You know, whatever comes out of their mouth. That's just pure and simple. That's all they can. That's all they can spout. They can't give you any specific as to what's going on. They can't. They don't understand that the economy of this United States has turned around from what it has been to something good now, and the military is being built back up, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, I can go on and on and on. But, yeah, that's faction. That's faction spirit that you're seeing on MSNBC, CNN, the world, you've worked out there. That's what you're seeing. Yeah, Missy.
That's exactly like the faction against UBM. They try and accuse, but they don't give specifics.
No, nope.
Exactly.
Nope. All they know is, David is this or David is that, and David, you know, UBM is this, UBM is that. Then they go out and put out websites to, stupid websites that just don't make a bit of sense. No, doesn't make a bit of sense. But anyway, that's the faction. That's the faction. And that's what you're seeing out there in the world, is the factious spirit on a worldwide basis. It's going on all over the world, not just in the United States. Yeah, TM, go ahead, brother.
That, and for everybody else too, part of the reason why you're seeing the viciousness is people are, their time is running out. God's not going to put up with their stuff anymore. And they're desperate, and they're lashing out, and just throwing everything they got on the wall to see if it sticks. So their world, their house of cards collapsing. That's why they're panicking.
Yeah, the deep state is they're being exposed, and they're running out of options, and they're pulling no stops out now. They're calling for the assassination of Trump. I don't know if y'all have heard that. They're calling for that. They're calling for protests across the United States to hurt people. You know, it's just craziness. It's just facts and spirit. All they know is just crazy stuff. But anyway, we can pray against that in the name of Jesus right now. We bind up that fear of faction in the world, in this area, in this United States. And we thank you, Lord, that the Red Sea is fixing to go over them. It's fixing to just go over them, Lord, just like it did in Moses' time when they went into the wilderness, Lord, and destroyed the people's enemies. Going to do the same thing. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to protect your chosen people. Whatever, you're going to protect your bride. Nothing is going to be able to penetrate those Jerusalem's walls, the bride's walls. And Father, we thank you in the days ahead. And Lord, that's why it's necessary that we get ready, and that you're getting us ready, and we allow you to get us ready, Lord. And we thank you for that. On that note, is Debbie around, Denny?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Does she want to give that word from the Lord she got that she blogged today? Would she like to do that? Or if she doesn't want to do it, I'll read it myself. I'd like for her to do it.
I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, good.
It's on the phone. Using. So I don't have it. So you'll have to read it if you don't mind.
Oh, okay. No, I don't mind talking. Now, when did you get this word?
Are you talking about the one about...
the one you blogged.
Just
the
today?
The word from the Lord, yes.
Kind of like a confirmation. It's just... I said Tuesday in there, though. I think it was Monday when I was getting that on Monday. Yeah, not Tuesday.
Okay.
I had the wrong day, but anyway. Had to do with the scriptures when it first,
Okay. Well, I'm going to read both what you put up there for the word and your comments after Vanessa gave hers, you know. Okay, here's what Deborah said. Word from
sorry.
The Lord.
Give me a second. I'm sorry, I misunderstood. I was talking about the comments. So, yeah, that word was from the other day.
Okay.
Last few days ago. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Debbie says, I'm sensing strongly the Lord is saving that for these days we are in and the days that are coming upon us all, not to forget his call to be a people continually inclined to, well, I must be missing some stuff here. Inclined to, with fasting, weeping, and mourning, rend your hearts before God and not your garments. He wants our days to be devoted wholly to his guidance and leading. He may have some to fast and pray a day, or even fast designated meal. I'm going to add a few things to make it a little more are fast designated meals or fast designated days of the week. Praying without ceasing because the days of tribulation are at hand. Will you be ready? Let my bride shine forth in meekness and humility. And then Vanessa commented, she said, this is on July the 18th, last night I asked the Lord to speak to me in a dream. I had a quick dream of David looking at me, but he looked different. He said, be ready. And I knew it meant to be ready for something exciting. I woke up immediately and the anointing was strong for me to pray. After I read Debbie's post, I asked the Lord, what are you telling us to be ready for? And I received Jeremiah 32 and verse 21. And did bring forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonder and with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terror. And Debbie came back on the 19th and said, amen, thank you, God. I have to say, I have had that strong sensing to be ready also. That's how it came to me, and especially strong at the Tuesday morning meeting this week. The scriptures were strong. I heard God say, get under the rock. I'm like, under the rock? I was really questioning what I heard. I've always heard it said, standing on the rock. This was different from what I have ever heard. That's why I didn't share it. I was questioning myself, hearing correctly. Then I had a vision of a rocky side of a mountain and a cave area scooped up out of the side of the mountain there and a shelf of rock hanging over the entrance of the cave. So one would have to be under the rock to enter the rock. And then Tuesday evening, I was reading from What Has Been Shall Be. By the way, that's the book I'm reading too, David. And where I was reading, I read where David said, get in the rock. I thought, oh God, every way we can be a part of the rock, we sure better be. On, under, and in. God says, be ready. Amen, Vanessa. Sorry for so long a reply to your comment. I feel the Lord has us confirming each other, and I do too. I think it's a confirmation that we're right on the verge of this great happening, and the Lord is telling us to get ready. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's see. Wait a minute. I have some more to it here. And Debbie Horton, she said, after that comment, she came up with a comment. She said, this is the third one. Last night I was awakened at 3:30 and just could not get back to sleep. Finally, I realized the Lord wanted me to pray. But since I didn't know specifically what to pray, I prayed in tongues for a while. And then this morning, I was led to look up Strong's H-160. And G-160, for those of you who may not know, Putin supposedly gave Trump 160 terabytes of New World Order and deep state intercepts. Whoa! H-160 is love, and G-160 is unexpected, suddenly. God's love is telling us that something is about to happen without warning. So, all right. Debbie, did you want to interject any more into this?
Not really, not about it. No.
Okay. All right. Has anybody else gotten anything along these lines? Anybody understand what I just read? Anybody not have any questions? Yeah, Joe.
So that get under the rock means Christ. The cleft of the rock is what kind of came to mind as you were, I think, Missy, you were saying, or no, you, sorry, you were saying the idea of getting the cleft of the rock, which is Christ. And, okay.
Well, what she was talking about was getting all of Christ you can, getting under, in, and around Christ all you can. That's what she's talking about. Get, submerse yourself into Christ, into the Word of God.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what she was referring to, I suspect.
Okay. Okay. Makes sense. Okay.
All right. Praise God. All right. Anybody else got anything that they see in there that we haven't even talked about?
Well, I got a prayer request, and we'll just pray for me. It is encouraging to know that, you know, yeah, we're right on the verge of that. And I mean, I keep hearing it, you know, I guess, well, you know, within the last year, the last couple years. But I see we're finally, like, there. So I would like prayer for myself. But I guess it's, I don't know, I guess, I mean, prayer, most of all, I meant to, you know, my first prayer request, I guess, was kind of, you know, my sleep patterns have been crazy lately. Yeah, I mean, pray for me. I mean, a good night's rest. You know, right now, I think, I don't know if that's what I need, you know, to be honest, because I'm hearing, I mean, I've always heard testimony of people say, well, you know, the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night to pray or to seek him or, you know, whatever. I don't know exactly if that's what he's doing with me, you know, to kind of cause me to get to bed at a later hour than I usually would or I used to, or just, you know, struggle to get to sleep. And I wake up early in the morning and I'm not fully alert mentally. So my quiet times are not as fruitful as they could be, you know, they're kind of hurried. So I would definitely desire some prayer in that area, but just to, you know, to make up in my heart or just to settle it. If I need, you know, whatever it is, you know, not to be half in and half out, you know, cause I always feel like, okay, I'm all in, then I'm all out. I'm all in, then I'm all out. You know, I have my struggles at work and all that stuff, you know, stuff that I've already discussed before. So I just wanted to, most of all, you know, prayer, ultimately hearing this word to just settle in my heart, you know, if that's what I need to do or whatever I need to do, you know, I mean, that's one thing I'm sure, but whatever I need to do it, you know, to stop playing games and just to do it. Cause it's, you know, I guess coming back as late as I have been, you know, I sense within the last year, you know, I always feel like, I mean, probably this is the enemy, you know, or I mean, I don't know if it is the enemy or not, but just like, you know, it's like always saying, Joe, you got a lot to do. You got a lot to catch up on, you know, but then it was encouraging by what you just said, Michael, and I've heard it said before, you know, it's, you know, get all of Christ as you can, you know, so I believe
it. It's time to sacrifice your time for the Lord.
Yeah,
exactly. It's time to not worry about the TV. It's time to not worry about whatever else comes up, you know, and I'm talking to myself too.
Oh, yeah.
It's time to fast and seek the Lord with all your heart, because every one of us want to be in the bride. And Joe, you don't have to worry about I'm late or I'm this or I got to catch up. No, you're just on time, bud. You're just on time. And all you have to do is rest in the Lord. You rest in the Lord. You understand that you're in God's hands as long as you're doing everything you know to do in your walk with Christ. Don't worry about it. Just know that you're in his hands. And that puts rest and peace in your heart to know that God's got you that way. Have you read Sovereign God?
I got to go back and read it again. I was listening last night to the Can We Ask God for a Sign? You know, I wanted to go back and listen to that. But, yeah, I'd like – yeah, I mean, it would probably be good to go back and listen to that or either read it again, you know, because I listened to it once and I got bits and pieces. But, yeah, I mean, it'd be good to go back.
Well,
and
I'll tell you what, I've read that thing I don't know how many times, but I get something out of it every time I read it. And it'll put you at ease. It'll give you a sense that God is in control of everything of your life. And so – I would recommend it. I'll go ahead and pray for you, though. In the name of Jesus right now, we command these tormenting spirits that are keeping him from sleeping a good night's sleep. Yes. We bind them up and cast them off of him right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that tonight that he's going to get a good, deep sleep. And Lord, place it in his heart before he goes to sleep tonight that he prays. and he prays the prayer of faith for himself and the people in this fellowship. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you're making a mighty man of God out of Joe. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Everybody here believes it. Amen. I know they do. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, brother. Amen. Just look for it because you're going to get you a good night's sleep tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Don't go in there and watch YouTube now for half hour before you go to bed.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I do. So yeah, it's time to
well,
turn
quit
it off.
Quit it.
Well, that's what I was trying to do last night, but I was tossing and turning, and it's like, I know what I need to do. It's time to do it.
Yeah. Sitting there watching them bully compilations.
Yeah.
Okay. Praise God. Anybody else? Thank you, Joe. Anybody else?
I got Esther before I came on tonight. Esther 7. Actually, Esther 7:5. But you want me to read the whole thing of Esther 7?
What is it? What'd you get?
Esther 7:5.
Okay.
I could read the whole thing. And then
you do whatever you feel led to do, bro.
All right. All right. Esther 7:1 says, "Now the king and Haman came to drink wine with Esther, the queen. And the king said to Esther on the second day, also as they drank their wine at the banquet, 'What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted to you. And what is your request? Even to half of the kingdom it shall be done.' Then Queen Esther replied, 'If I found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases a king, let my life be given me as my petition, my people as my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. Now, if we had only been sold as slaves, men and women, I would have remained silent, for the trouble would not be commensurate with the annoyance to the king.' Then King Ahasuerus asked Queen Esther, 'Who is he and where is he who would presume to do this?' Esther said, 'A foe and an enemy is this wicked Haman.' Then Haman became terrified before the king and the queen. The king arose in his anger from drinking wine and went into the palace garden, but Haman stayed to beg for his life from the queen Esther, for he saw that harm had been turned against him by the king. Now when the king returned from the palace garden into the place where they were drinking wine, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was. Then the king said, 'Will he even assault the queen with me in the house?' And the word went out from the king's mouth, and they covered Haman's face. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs, who was before the king, said, 'Behold, indeed the gallows standing at Haman's house, 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on behalf of the king.' And the king said, 'Hang him on it.' So they hanged Haman on the gallows, which he had prepared for Mordecai. King anger subsided." I'm seeing what we're talking about with the faction and, you know, the man child coming, and it's all going to happen about the same time. The timing here. But I'm seeing also the Lord's reminding us about the queen and her petition to the Lord or the king for her people and for herself in these times against this wicked Haman, this faction that's coming out. So I think we're also being told to be ready to be, you know, to do the interceding now for the church and for the bride and for all involved in this. So that this faction is outed, and then the king will make his decision and hang this Haman on the tree. I just thought I'd put that out. You go to 8, that talks about that petition again, the queen going to the king about, hey, this things in our decrees already been out to kill the Jews. And then they you see where the king said, I can't take back that decree to kill you, but I could say defend yourself. So I think we're being told to get ready to defend ourselves, do the petitioning to the Lord for this thing, you know. So.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, the king represents the Lord. Esther represents the bride. Mordecai represents the man child. And Haman represents all the other peoples. Amen. Praise God. All right, that's good. Thank you. Haman is hanged. Praise God. Yep, they're going down. I don't care what to say. Cyrus is going to.
We got to do our job, petition the king.
Yep. Amen. We have been. Excuse me. All right. Anybody else on this subject of getting ready? Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, there's the verse 7 there in his Esther verses there that, and the king arised from the banquet of wine in his wrath. So this wine here is a lifestyle of I think of getting back at Haman. And I was just trying to listen because I thought there was another place where when he was reading that, where it mentioned also another place where there was wine there. And this is a righteous happening, not by any man, but by God Himself, to fulfill this this life of defending someone. So, and that someone would be the queen, of course, and her people, and it's just so cool how Mordecai's gallows is used for him. How he falls into it by himself. You know, like it almost reminds me that there are people who went across the Red Sea and they tried to pursue and they thought that God was going to hold it open for them too. Well, no, we're not supposed to think that way at all. So, yeah, I thought he mentioned wine twice, though, but maybe I was just hearing it.
No, at the beginning, it mentions wine.
In verse 2. Yeah. The king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. I'm just thinking on that now.
Amen. It could be something there, too. Amen.
But we must have read this before because I even, like, half of that.
We get these verses in the morning meeting a lot.
Yeah, because I got that second part of 2 where Esther is asked to give her request, you know, and that's a request of life there. A request for that
for her people,
for that partaking. You know, I even think of how the water was turned to wine in that sign that is more of the life of Christ going to be manifested in the bride at that point in time, because she's asking for life here. That's what I'm seeing in this too, because I have it even circled here in my Esther asking for this request to be granted her. And just kind of cool. That's all mentioning the wine there.
Amen. Kind of interesting. It's a talk in the shadow. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, I have something that I want to share with y'all from something that Robin posted. And it's about 20 minutes long, if y'all don't mind. Y'all want to see it? Y'all mind watching this thing on YouTube? It don't make no difference if you do. I'm going to show it anyway. How's that? Praise God. It's going to be good. I think you'll enjoy it. Let's see here. Where'd y'all go? Oh, there you are. Okay, I'm going to share the screen. Okay. And I get to desktop. Share computer sound. Share screen. Okay.
Who are you?
My name is not to be revealed in this setting.
Can
y'all hear it?
You're an angel.
I am honored to serve the sun who rules from the white throne.
That place back there. Why did I have to go there?
You were waiting.
Waiting? Waiting for what? This is beautiful. It's more incredible than I had imagined. And yet somehow it's terrifying.
You are about to enter the great hall of the White Throne of Judgment. The Son who sits on the throne has beheld your heart. He knows your innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing is hidden. You will approach when your name is called. At the gold rail you will kneel, where you will have a chance to address the Son of the Most High, the King of the Universe.
Wait, you're saying then that this will decide whether heaven or...
As it is written, this is the most decisive and solitary moment you will ever face. Did you not read in the eternal scriptures of the King's judgment seat? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. May your name be found.
It's so vast. The ceiling must be 1,000. No. 5,000 feet high. It's also magnificent. It's so permeated with God's love. And yet somehow I feel a holy sacred fear. The things I worried about.
How are we ever going to pay this off? Jeff, when are you going to shave that thing off your face? The board says they're going to evaluate my performance over the last 2 years. Terry, do you see a gray hair?
Yeah, right there.
Greg, I'm going to have to declare your room a national disaster area.
Yeah. I think these pants must have shrunk in the wash.
Oh, distractions. Foolishness. This is the moment I should have cared about. This is the moment that should have consumed me all my life. This is the moment I should have prepared for. My encounter with him.
Prepare yourself.
Hal Newman, it is now time to give an accounting of your time on Earth.
You'll be all right, my friend. You're one of the godliest men in my church. If you aren't accepted, then all my work has been for nothing.
I've served you, Lord. My whole life has been about serving your name. It's been an honor, my Lord.
Gabriel, is the name Hal Newman found in the Book of Life?
Oh, what a blessing to be here to witness this. To see the reward
no,
of good...
it is not, my Lord.
What?
Hal Newman, you are guilty of denying me. What? You will be taken to the Lake of Fire, where you will spend eternity away from my presence.
No, my...
in the company of Satan and his demons. Oh. And all those who have denied me.
But Lord, how have I denied you? I accepted you as a boy. I've been a Christian my whole life. How can this be?
Why? Gabriel, reveal the works of his life.
Yes, my Lord.
Here's what you do. Give this envelope to my good buddy down at the Planning Commission. He'll turn his head the other way. Just long enough for us to get the go-ahead to break ground on the project. It's that easy.
Wait, I can get the siding for that low? Sure. I understand. Only good for 5 or 6 years? Yeah, well, hey, I'll be retired by then.
Stanley, relax, my friend. I've got several places we can hide the money, all right? Didn't you know I'm a CPA? Yeah.
A creative person with accounting. Dear God.
Hal, I would have gladly forgiven you of these deeds. I died to give you that chance. If you had come to me with a broken and contrite heart, I would have erased these deeds from all memory.
But Lord...
but you never knew me. And these deeds are merely evidence of what was in your heart all along.
I am so sorry.
I gave you many chances to repent in life. But out of your pride, you refused. You prayed a prayer decades ago. But it meant little.
What?
You never followed me. You never knew me.
But Lord, I did many good things in your church.
Why do you call me Lord? And yet you failed to do what I told you. Hal, you have never been mine.
No.
Now you must go away, for your deeds are evil.
No.
Bind him hand and foot.
No.
Take him away. Cast him into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
No.
I can't believe this. A man who spent his entire life in church. Why?
Even now, your friend curses at God, curses at you. That has been your friend's true nature all along. It is now revealed.
What was that?
Time moving. We are in the fullness of time and are moving about its corridors. This is the same sensation the Apostle John experienced when moving through the events in the Book of Revelation. When you are no longer confined to time, you see things you wouldn't have seen otherwise.
Terry Knowles. Gabriel, reveal the works of her life.
Yes, my Lord.
Did you hear about Pastor Allen? He took up with that trashy little worship singer. Everybody knows they spent the night together in some love nest in Cairo. You can't tell anyone. It could ruin a marriage. You know, I'm not here to gossip. But if you're thinking of making that woman head of preschool, there are some things you should know. I'm just sharing these things out of concern. After all, she is part of the church ministry, so she really needs our prayers.
I had no idea. She was the source of all those nasty rumors. Terry warned me about her. Something she felt.
Terry! Mary knows it is time to account for your stewardship.
Yes, my lord. My lord, please. Those statements, they were taken out of context. The children, they were my joy, my greatest concern. I gladly served you.
Carrie,
really...
did you not hear my word when I said, not all who sound religious are godly people. They may refer to me as Lord, but their heart is far from me, for they are unwilling to obey my father.
Unwilling to? Now hold on here.
Gabriel, is the name Carrie Knowles found in the Book of Life?
No.
What?
It is not, my lord.
What? Lord, I have been nothing but a servant for as long as I can remember.
And you already received your full reward for that service, Carrie.
That's it? That's all the thanks I get?
Carrie, my word is clear about the seven things I hate. And the seventh, which is an abomination, is sowing discord among brethren. Again, I state in my word that I cannot tolerate those who slander their neighbors.
Didn't I pray? Didn't I ask forgiveness of my sins?
You did.
Yeah.
But Carrie, your heart was far from me. You stated you knew Jesus, but you never came to me with a humble and contrite heart for salvation.
It's not true.
Therefore, my life was never imparted to you.
But I prayed.
You trusted in your works as a substitute for a genuine relationship with me. My word is clear on that, Carrie. You are not justified by works. If you had sincerely given your life to me, your life would have shown a changed nature. You would have loved what I loved, hated what I hated. That is the evidence. It isn't the works, Carrie. It's the heart. You do not know me, Carrie. And I do not know you. My word is clear. You have made your choice. Therefore, you must depart from me and go to your eternal punishment.
Now, you just wait here.
You must go to the place reserved for those who reject me. For many are called, but few are chosen.
Get these off me! I said, get these chains off me!
Alan Rockaway, come before my throne. It is time for you to give an accounting.
Thank you, my lord. I don't suppose it counts for much, but as you know, I was a pastor for most of my life. Almost 30 years. I led many people to accept you as their savior.
Yes, but did you?
Did I what, sir?
Accept me as your Lord and Savior.
Well, that goes without saying.
No, Alan. It does not go without saying. How did you live your life?
Well, I... Lord...
Gabriel, is Alan Rockaway prepared to enter my kingdom?
No, my lord. He is not.
But, Lord, I served you. I healed people in your name. I baptized, I prayed, I taught your word. I devoted my life to your cause.
Here are your deeds, Alan. Gabriel? You justified your divorce of Terry before your elder board.
Look, like any other man, I have needs. Jesus understands that.
And before your church.
Forget the angry, vengeful God of your childhood, of your negative and false impressions. I'm preaching grace. Just look out these windows and ask yourself, does the one who created the Rocky Mountains want his highest, most beloved creation to live in a dark box of do's and don'ts?
Oh Lord, we thank you for the sweet, slow journey you led Alan and Jenny on to find each other this special day.
You did all these things in my name, Alan, and yet I knew you not. My life was not within you. I could have and would have forgiven all these things, but you never had a repentant heart. Instead, you preached what would make you popular and successful. Empty words that allowed people to live comfortably, but without fruit. You neglected to teach your people what it truly means to follow me. To love me with all their heart, soul, and might. You even paraded your adultery and the destruction of your family before the church, justifying it in my name. This was an abomination.
Lord,
had my life been within you, you would not have gone so boldly into adultery against my word. When I was on earth, my words were clear. Whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery.
But...
Alan, my word also says there is evidence for those who truly know me. If they know me, they will keep my commandments. If they break my commandments, they will confess their sins and repent. You never confessed or repented from your sin. Rather, you justified it.
But, Lord, King David committed adultery and you forgave him.
David sincerely repented. And that is why he rests in his reward today. But you did not. You continue to twist my word to justify yourself. And worse yet, you preached it to the sheep I had entrusted to you.
But I too was deceived. I was led astray. I simply preached what I knew. And I didn't realize.
I gave you Terry.
I don't understand, Lord.
I've listened to your sermons for years now, and I'm curious. I don't think I've ever heard you use the word sin, even once in the last several years, or righteousness, or justice.
And?
Well, you talk about how Summit Chapel is a safe place to check out the faith, to kick the tires, right?
Right.
But how does someone receive Jesus at our church?
Terry, we've talked about this 100 times. The whole approach is to reach out to the seekers. We don't want to pound them over the head with doctrine. It's a gentle leading.
Yes, but how do these seekers find anything? There aren't any calls for repentance or...
Terry, look, I'm not going to debate you on this. The problem is you're still tied to the past, the old way of doing things, to dogma.
No, but it's basic truth.
Bottom line, you don't get what my ministry is about, and frankly, you don't care.
No, I am asking basic questions, and you're the one refusing to answer. Who's the one who doesn't care?
Alan, you knew. You were told, and you were warned.
Lord.
Did you not read in my word that those who are teachers in the church will be judged by me with greater strictness?
Yes, Lord, I did. But I believed I had been called to this work.
You were called. And it would have turned out differently if you'd only surrendered your life and ministry to me. But now you must depart from me. For my presence is not within you. And your name is not found in the book.
Oh, God!
Bind him hand and foot.
Lord.
And cast him into deepest darkness.
Deepest darkness? My Lord!
When I was on earth, I said whoever causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea.
I didn't know.
For such persons, I said I would reserve a place of greatest torment.
God.
The place of deepest darkness. Take him away.
God. God. Please. Please! No, God, no! No! No, God! Please! Please, Lord God, no! God! God! God, you're fading! Please, no! Your presence is drifting away! This is the last time I'll ever see him! Ever know him!
I weighed such cheap, shallow teaching.
Why was I so proud?
It was a simple truth.
Why didn't I listen to his voice?
My own pride.
Why did I turn away from him?
I missed it.
Why did I reject his truth?
A fool.
Why did I reject his love?
A wretched, despicable fool.
Why did I reject him? Why? No! Please!
Alan!
Please!
Take my hand!
Oh, please, thank you! Thank you!
Come with me, Alan.
What? How?
What you have been through is real. If you lost your earthly life at this moment in time, this would have been your eternal destiny.
What do you mean? If I lost my earthly life?
The Father allowed you to see what would have happened if your son was not, at this very moment, rescuing you from death.
Jeff!
Because of your son's persistence and obedience to the urging of the Spirit, you are about to be spared. You see, Alan, the Father is going to allow you to deliver a message to the world. He is granting you a second chance.
Can't hear you, Michael.
I'm waiting on this thing. Okay. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Okay. Who's ready to repent?
I am.
Amen. Me too. Amen. Something's going squirrely here on my lid. In the name of Jesus, quit that. Get out of my computer. Okay, there we go. All right. Well, that's one that Robin had posted earlier today or yesterday or sometime. And I didn't get to look at it until, this afternoon sometime. And I said, you know, that'd be a good one to put on the outreach. And so everybody, not just y'all, but everybody could listen to it. And the name of it is, if you want to go look at it again or give someone else, let's see here if I can find it. Give me a second here. Well, where'd it go?
I think Barbara already posted the title there in the chat.
Oh, did she? Okay, well, great.
Day of Judgment, Amazing True Vision.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, there we go. Amen. All right.
All right, so anybody wants to get it and give it to someone else. It's a sobering thought. Anyone that has any background in the Bible at all knows that if you go to the great white throne judgment, that's the wrong one to go to. You don't want to go to that one. You want to go to the first one. You want to go to Jesus' judgment. That great white throne judgment is reserved for the lost and the ones that are headed for the wrong place. But it's interesting to note the people that they picked to go to hell, and it's those that think that they're okay, but that had been following the Word of God. And it's a sobering thought. It's a real sobering thought. Anybody got any comments?
Oh, no.
Yeah, Michael, it's interesting. The presidential cabinet level Bible study they have every week. The title of last week was, "Will Jesus Say to You, I Never Knew You?" same subject. Yeah.
Y'all just missed some brilliant things that I was talking about then. No, what I said was that the whole Congress and the whole State Department, all of them need to go to that Bible study. Praise God. Yeah. All right. Anybody else got any comments on that little short little evangelistic tool? Yeah, Pat.
Michael, I will go back and listen to that again. It was very good, but I have to bug out of here, but I appreciate everybody's prayers, and I'd like to stick around here, but I have to get up very early in the morning, so.
Okay.
Good night, everybody. God bless everybody.
Bless you.
See you next week.
Okay. Hey, I listened to your testimony a week ago, and I told my boss about it because he was having the same kind of problems you were having, pressures. I thought it was a good testimony.
Oh, cool.
Giving it to God and praising God for all the troubles and thanking Him for all the people and blessing all His employees, and then the next day turned out great.
So, cool.
Thank you.
All right. Be blessed, brother. All right. Anyone else? Somebody. Oh, that's Denny's unplugged there. That's okay. I can hear you, Deborah. Amen. Anybody got any comments on what we just, what we read that Debbie, the word that she got, and Vanessa and Debbie Horton got, or this film that we have here now? It's going to be funny just sitting here watching one another. Right, Joe? Joe Britt? Yeah. Amen. Joe gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning to come in here and listen to us now. Somebody got to do some talking. Go ahead, Willie. How you doing, brother?
Well, I figure I might brag about all my good news. But no, for real. I have a friend, I've been consoling, and he's been dealing a lot with the divorce he's been going through. And, the enemy always attacks him on the front of, what she might be doing, where she's at, who she's with. To think this about her, to think that about her, and I, whenever he gets on the phone or whenever he calls me, I'm like, Lord, I have no idea what I'm going to say to this person. I don't know what to say to him at all. I said, you're going to have to give me what to say. And I swear every single time, you know, I would say most of 99% of the time, or however you want to put it, I don't know what to say to him. So I'll say a little prayer while he's talking, you know, and I'll let him ramble on and stuff like that. And I'll sit calmly and I'll wait for the Lord. And then the only thing the Lord ever has me deal with is his heart. You know, where's your heart at? You know, just like the Lord, it just totally reminded me of that every single time he calls me. You know, he's in distress about something, or, you know, he's feeling downtrodden or just overtaken by things. You know, dealing with this divorce and what he's going through. The Lord always has me, you know, just deal with his heart, you know, just his heart alone. What's going on in your heart? Where are you at? You know, to look at your own heart, you know, and to see where the enemy is working, you know, and to praise the Lord for what he's revealing inside of you, you know, through allowing the enemy to work. And it just reminded me of all of that, you know, where you really have to look at your own heart in your walk. And that's one of the things the Lord has me do all the time, you know, look at my own heart, you know. And I've always tried to avoid, you know, what's truly in my own heart by, you know, always trying to find that five-step quick method to get to heaven, or that, you know, ultimate revelation to know God, you know, beyond, you know, anything I can know about him. I was always looking for a shortcut, always looking for a shortcut, you know. And truly, when you find yourself looking for those shortcuts, it's because, you know, your heart is not in a place where you are genuinely giving yourself over to serving him. You know, so I was looking for some other way, you know, just give me this great revelation, just give me this divine word, just give me this, you know, anointed healing oil, or, you know, whatever, you know. I was always looking for some shortcut, you know, and it was because, you know, I really didn't see myself with any of the ability of being able to serve God. And, you know, when the Lord started dealing with my heart, it was that issue. You know, I never had, you know, faith to believe that I could serve God, not by my own means or own strength, but that God can make that possible. Because I only saw my own means. I only saw my own strength, you know. I served God in, you know, ways after the flesh, where I was delusional about serving God. You know, to me, serving God, and I mentioned it once before, was through fear or through condemnation or through rejection or through abandonment. You know, there are many ways, you know, methods in which I was trying to hold on to God, but he wasn't by his spirit. But yeah, just that little segment of what I'm trying to say is just that way how God's been really been dealing with my life, you know, because I don't want to have to get up there and be like, Willie, this lust in your heart that you would not let go because you thought it was such a small thing. And, you know, I got to go to hell, you know. And, you know, we go to hell just believing, you know, that we're serving. It's weird, you know. It's weird. I would have gone to hell thinking I'm doing God a service because I thought that he was the God of fear, you know, that I should be terrified of him. And the only way to be pleasing before him is to walk in terror, you know, and to, you know, I thought that, you know, rejection, condemnation, you know, constantly beating myself down before him was a service to him, you know, and he would honor it, you know, and would have mercy and, you know, show me an ounce of grace, you know, something to just hold me for the next day. But facing what's really in your heart and giving it to God, you know, being real. Okay, God, I really don't want to serve you. Okay, let's start from there then. You know, we're starting from a true place now. You know, I have a conviction that you're real, but no, I don't want to serve you. Okay, let's start there. Let's tell God about that, you know. Let's tell him why we don't want to serve him. You know, and let's, you know, begin to pour our hearts to God and ask him for strength to be able to change, you know, and to have a change of heart, a change of mind, instead of being pretentious, you know, instead of, you know, falling into places of condemnation, to places of, you know, I'm just destroyed. I can't, you know, there's no way I have. And, you know, you're just in these places where you're constantly being tormented. When you just need to be open and truthful and straightforward with God about who you are, you know, and then let God change that. You know, I told God, I want to go to the bar. I want to have something to drink right now. You know, I want to drink so bad it's not funny. And it's not even in me not to, I just wanted to do that. And I had to confess that to God. I had to tell him, you know, it's in me strong that I want to go have a drink. And go to the bar and listen to some live music and hang out like other people hang out and just relax. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting tipsy. You know, I had to tell God all those things, you know, because that's where I was, you know. Had I not said it and died that way, you know, God would have said it all to me, you know, as I was standing before him being judged by him. And so I had to, when I confessed that, and then I asked the Lord, you know, take it away from me. He did. Immediately, at that moment, it was gone. It left. You know, and that's awesome. And, you know, I think that video really shows us how we ought to be dealing with our hearts. You know, seriously dealing with our hearts. Especially, you know, I'm just looking at myself, you know. But yeah, that's all I got to say.
Well, that's a good point. Your heart is what's going to take you up there. It's either going to take you one place or the other. Can y'all hear me? I had a sign. The reason I asked, I had a sign pop up there and said that Zoom can't hear me. I don't know where that came from. Y'all hear that? You hear that thunder? Well, everybody heard it but you, Willie. Praise God. That's true. You know, we got to search our hearts and allow the Lord to cleanse us. It's, you know, we know, most of us know, hindering our walk, and just ask the Lord to take it out of you. All right. Anybody else? What about George? Hadn't heard from you tonight.
Greetings.
Greetings. Well, and salutation.
Watching that video just reminded me of all those temptations, and I got a few scriptures that popped through, so I just did a quick word search on it. I guess one of my favorite ones is there, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And James 1:12 says, well, James 1:2 says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment unto the day of judgment. And I think that, for me, it kind of puts it, it ties it up into a nutshell as far as everything we go through. And, you know, we'll be judged for every idle word, but we have a chance to give a fruitful word, and we cave in sometimes to the fear of man or wanting to be loved and accepted by the world instead of standing up for Christ and the cross and the work that he's already done for us, and kind of remembering when we were first saved how desperate we were to get out of sin and be clean. And a lot of people don't get good teaching as far as how to keep a pure conscience with God, and they don't get deep enough in the word maybe sometimes to get a good running start to jump up on that rock and stay there. But you know, in that case, I guess whether it's ourselves or people we're trying to guide along and disciple, we have to find, you know, maybe it's as simple as doing a word search on something, or in finding some kind of encouragement or a connection in the body where we don't let nobody fall through the gaps, and we say, you know, you got to get up here on the rock. You got to get beyond these temptations. You've got to overcome. You know, what is your testimony? Take them back to when they were first saved and say, well, where did you, you know, I guess the definition of revival is doing the last thing God told you to do close to him. So when, you know, if we can encourage one another or find out, you know, we can't let nobody lose in this deal because we need each other so badly. We need the whole body functioning. And even those that aren't saved yet, we need to look in the eyes of people and just find out who our brothers are. Do they accept that word of the cross that, you know, how do they receive that? Are they, does it give life? Is it power? Is the gospel power to those that are being saved? Or is it foolishness to those that we, you know, can brush the dust off our feet and move on looking for our brothers and sisters? But this thing's fixing to get hot, like you're talking about with the faction and judgment and the world and government leadership and everything else. It's probably all going to happen practically at once. Where, I mean, I'm meeting right now where there used to be a lot of resistance. I find them to talk about God and want to, even if they just say God bless you or something like that, it was almost unheard of a couple of years ago where I'm at. And now more and more people are kind of just, they seem open and softer. And it's just, you know, I'm getting these subtle hints from, maybe I'm being led by the Spirit of God more than I used to be. And you know, maybe it's been easy all along because God says the harvest is ripe and ready. It's the laborers, you know, that are few. So I guess that's just it with me, is digging a little deeper on even the simple things to overcome. You know, this is a very serious deal. This is nothing to be taken lightly, even our own salvation. You know, walking our own salvation out with fear and trembling. It's okay for me about my brother and everything else, but I better make sure George is going to make it, and my family and everything else. I got, you know, everybody's got responsibility, but like Joe was talking about earlier, you kind of feel like you got the weight of the world on your shoulders sometimes. But really, when you all were praying when I first got on here, I was a little late, but just hearing y'all pray, I just closed my eyes, laid back in this chair, and I was at perfect rest because I knew somebody else, you know, we're on this big tug of war and somebody else was leaning back for me, and I'm just riding the rope. And I'm like, thank you, God, that I've got brothers and sisters that are in this with me and they've got faith. And you know, whether we get a good night's rest, we can choose to rest in him. He keeps us in perfect peace whose eyes are set on him. Where is Jesus? He's in us. If we can rest with us and in us, then that perfect peace, that Prince of Peace, is going to give us peace that goes beyond understanding. So maybe it's just a personal journey right now that I've got to tighten up and dig deep and be better at my walk, but that's what I'm getting tonight. And God bless y'all. Y'all are very encouraging to me.
Amen. Me too. Thank you, Lord. All right. Tim, did you have your hand up a while ago?
Yeah. When we were watching that video, I was just taken back. I didn't spend a lot of time in my adult life in religion. But, boy, the watered-down messages that, I was seeing there just brought me back to that. I just want to thank God, for giving us the grace of drawing us as a group, individually, and, just the grace that we've got, because it'd been real easy to stay in that and think you were, running the race when you're just sitting there, getting your feet wet. And it's not a very good analogy, but anyway, when I saw that, it really brought it home that, we've been blessed, and David, being brought to UBM and getting David's teachings, and then, taking the time ourselves to dig into the Word and find out what we were missing in organized religion is a real blessing, and I just thank God for that. Wanted to pass that along.
Amen. It seems to me that the people who come across the truth are the ones who are seeking it the hardest. They're seeking. Can y'all hear me? Okay. Yeah, I keep getting this message up here. It says it ain't nobody can hear me. It's a lying demon. Get out of my computer right now in the name of Jesus. That lying demon. But the people, the people that come across the truth are the ones that are hungry for the truth. I know in my walk, I've always prayed, Lord, please don't allow me to be deceived. Please don't allow me to be deceived. And that's been one of my main prayers throughout my walk, 21 years, 20 something years, I remember. But anyway, like Tim, I came along into Christianity at a late time in life. And I didn't have a whole lot of religion in me when I came to Christ. And so it was real easy for me to just receive what the Bible says, And like some of y'all, I know some of you came out of some religion, some of you didn't. I was saved in the Baptist church, but I didn't stay there. Gosh, I didn't stay there 6, 7, 8 months maybe. And I was out of there into a little church, then a full gospel church, a Church of God church. But anyway, that's that. When you're hungry for God, He's going to get you to the truth. He's going to get you to the truth. All right, anyone else?
Yeah, I think what I'm finding too is, you get a lot of different people coming from a lot of different backgrounds. At least I'm finding it with the Christians I'm with, people that are Christ-like to a degree. And they may not have a complete understanding of the fullness of the scriptures, right? And they aren't in all the truth they need to be in, which would be nice, but they have some truth. And they're searching for that truth, and they're still, they're not totally satisfied where they're at. So that's a good thing. I'm seeing that as being a good thing. And so it does give me a little bit of a place where I can talk to them about things, but it doesn't mean necessarily that I'm winning them over to everything, but I'm not trying to at that point. I'm just going to focus on where the Lord's got me right there with that person and what we can share and talk about and not shut the doors, because if I can keep a door open, that's just maybe a little more that's going to be a little more light. I'll have an opportunity to go that way later. Because even right now, my boss, I've had some conversations with him, and he's got quite a bit of truth to a degree, but still fundamentally still needs to have a little more. But he also has that background of before he came from Arizona, he came up here, and he's got an interesting story. He was born in Mexico, came to the United States as a teenager, had to learn English from a teenager, and got into the military, and he's still part of the military and the reserves. And so he's just an interesting guy that way. He really works hard where he's got to be where he's at. But he also got involved with Masons, and stuff like that. So, and he hasn't been active since he's been up here, and I got to talk to him a little bit about that. Because you get off on these little groups, and you think you're part of something that's good, but they don't have all the truth about it. I was talking to him about the Masons, about it's not really God. And they worship anything that's God. And I said, you can go to a different country, and you might find a Quran there that they're going to swear by instead of a Bible. So they worship all gods. They don't worship the God, the true God. They don't know Jesus as a Savior. I'm trying to give them that kind of light kind of stuff. And so he's come along, and he is part of a church. So, I mean, my point is that I find people where I can talk to them and bring them up and show them things if their mind's open for discussion on this. And I asked the Lord even today, I said, Lord, if there's somebody you want to talk to me, maybe talk with or whatever, share with or whatever we need to do, that'd be great. And sure enough, he comes up out of nowhere and says, I really need prayer. Oh, okay, you need prayer. What do you need prayer on? And he's talking about how things are getting kind of hectic and terrible at work, and the office is getting kind of crazy and a lot of stuff going on. It's not good. And I says, well, and then I thought about Pat's testimony, because the other day I thought it was a great testimony. And then the power of praise with Merlin Crothers gave him some of those books, ideas, and just said, this is where you got to go on that. Just whatever we can share with people when they come in our scene and give them a little light, and trust that the Lord's going to guide them the rest of the way. Because we're just there just to spark a fire, spark a flame, and if they're looking for truth, which they will, they're going to find it. They're going to keep searching. They're going to keep looking. And we can just be there to kind of nudge them along when the time comes, which I find very delightful. And I'm not saying it happens with everybody, because it doesn't. I got one guy, it's real resistance to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I know. It's like, oh, I'm his enemy in a way, because I don't believe some of the things he believes, the Trinity and stuff. And you get that, It's like, oh, I don't want to be on that end of it, but it's just the way it is, He's real suspicious of all that stuff, but that's that religious spirit stuff going on, and wait for the Lord to start knocking some of that stuff down. Anyway, I just kind of rambled on a little bit.
Okay, no, that's good. Well, all right, we've just about run out of time. Denny, could I get you to close this out, please, with a prayer?
Yeah, sure. Amen.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Father, for this time, and Lord, what you impart to us by your Spirit. We're so grateful all the time. We just completely trust you, Lord, and that faith in you. We just trust you, Jesus, to complete us, Lord, and help us to walk in the ministry you have for each one of us, and we thank you for it, God. We praise you. So we ask a blessing now on each one as they go their way till next time, and we thank you for that. Blessing, Lord Jesus, bless their families, bless those they're ministering to. Bless Andrew and the wedding coming up, Lord. We thank you. That's just a real sweet and anointed time there. Pray that your Spirit would be there, Father. It's a union. So two people, Lord, that you ordain. So we just trust your Spirit would be there and bless them, Lord. We just thank you. We pray for Matt and Megan, Lord, for we were married last week. We just bless them, Lord Jesus. So we thank you now, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, y'all. Good night. Let me get everybody unmuted here. All right. Good night. See you.
Good night, everyone. Good
night, everybody.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless. God bless everybody. Lucky
stuff.